Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome back to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas. I am your host today. We are learning to see life, identity, and truth through the lens of God's Word. And in this 15th episode, overall, second episode in our current series, Who Am I? Identity in Christ, we're looking at statements in Scripture that help us understand our identity. This week's verse is one of the most powerful identity statements in all of the Scripture. From Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So today I want to introduce a term that may help us understand why this verse is not just beautiful, but absolutely necessary. The term that I'm working on, the term that I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to share it with you. We're going to work through some definitions. The term is condemnation mindset. Let me define this concept. A working definition that I have for a condemnation mindset is this. A condemnation mindset is the belief that I am a failure even at the level of my identity, and therefore I will inevitably fail in life and before God. So, with this concept, it's not just I did something wrong, it's rather I am something wrong. It's the difference between guilt, which is I sinned, and condemnation. I am condemned. I'm beyond hope. This is just who I am. Once a person believes at that level, at the level of their identity, that they are a failure, that they are condemned, it begins to shape everything. How they think, how they act, how they expect, what they expect of themselves, and even what they believe God thinks of them. And this is an interesting concept that we can actually see playing out in modern psychology and criminology with some observed dynamics. Modern psychology and criminology, however, they use different terminology, different language. For example, here are a couple of examples from modern psychology and criminology about this similar concept. One is self-fulfilling prophecy. If someone believes I will fail, they begin to act in ways that make failure more likely. The belief produces the behavior. So people will believe that they're going to fail, and so they just begin doing things that lead, unfortunately, to that outcome. That's self-fulfilling prophecy. Another is learned helplessness. A person comes to believe nothing I do will change the outcome, so they just stop trying, even when change is possible. And we see this taking place so often when people are in a crisis or when they've been going through extended seasons of crisis and trauma. They don't think that anything they can do is going to change the outcome of their life. So rather than trying to change, because change is possible, they just simply stop trying altogether. Now, from the world and realm of criminology, there's this concept called labeling theory. When someone is labeled a criminal, they begin to internalize that identity. Over time, they don't just commit crimes. They begin to believe, this is just who I am. And once that identity is accepted, behavior follows. Now, here's the key insight. These fields are not discovering something new. They are describing something God has already revealed. Long before psychology gave it a name, Scripture revealed this identity. Scripture revealed this reality. The Bible teaches that human problem is not just behavior, it's identity distortion rooted in sin. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve sin, and immediately what happens? They hide from God and they begin to reinterpret themselves. Shame enters, fear enters, distance enters, and from that moment on, humanity lives with a distorted identity, with misplaced shame and a tendency towards condemnation. So by the time we get to the New Testament, this is fully developed. The Apostle Paul describes an internal struggle that sounds remarkably familiar. Before we get to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we have to walk through Romans 7. Paul says things like, "I do not do what I want. I do the thing I hate. Wretched man that I am." And these are not just theoretical. This is the lived experience of someone who knows what is right, who desires what is right, but still struggles with sin. Now, here's the danger. If we read and stop at Romans 7, you will almost inevitably develop a condemnation mindset. Because the conclusion would be, if I keep failing, then maybe this is just who I am. And that's exactly where many believers live. They live in that place of, because I continue to fail, this is just who I am. They know Christ, but they interpret their ongoing struggle as a final identity. But then comes a change. It's a turn. It's really one of the most important words in the Bible. Therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a powerful statement. As a matter of fact, it is a legal declaration from God. It means no guilty verdict, no final judgment hanging over you, no identity defined by your sin. And notice what Paul does not say. He does not say there is less condemnation, or there is delayed condemnation, or there's no condemnation if you improve yourself. He says just blanket right out. He said there is no condemnation. And why? Why could a man who in Romans chapter 7 outwardly deals with this internal struggle of he does the things he doesn't want to do. He has a desire to do the right thing, but he doesn't seem to ever get it right. There is this struggle of sin. Why is it that he could make such a powerful declaration, proclamation? And that's because you're standing before God. Paul's standing before God. You're standing before God. It's not based on your performance. It's based on your position in Christ. This condemnation mindset seems to forget, to neglect, to refuse to acknowledge, to refuse to embrace that our position with God is not based on our performance, it's based on our position in Jesus Christ. So, condemnation mindset, this idea that I have failed, therefore I am a failure, all the way down to my identity. It is a problem that is even identified and researched, thought on, written about in contemporary psychology and criminology. We see, though, that the contemporaries are only now discovering what God's Word has revealed many years before, and it is a reality that we continue to deal with. I am a failure. I continue to fail. Therefore, this is just who I am. I don't have any hope of change, but that's not true. So let's spend a couple of moments about defeating the condemnation mindset. How do we overcome this mindset, biblically speaking? Let me give you four anchors. Number one, recognize the voice of condemnation. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, we see Satan called the accuser of the brethren. Condemnation always sounds like this. This is who you are. You'll never change. You've gone too far. That voice is the voice of Satan. He is the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is set on track to make sure that you continually live in condemnation, ignoring missing or misguided from recognizing the declaration of the Savior who says, "You are not condemned. Therefore, There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So, recognize the voice of condemnation and call it for what it is. This is Satan's voice, not the Savior's. Number two, return to justification. Justification is the declaration that God makes through Jesus Christ that states, because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ took your place and you are invited to take His place, if you receive by faith the forgiveness of God, it's just as if you had never done the sin that brought about condemnation. And so Romans 8:1 is not about how you feel, it's about what God has stated. You don't overcome condemnation by improving your performance. You overcome it by returning to what Christ has already accomplished. The power is not in your performance. The power is in the cross of Jesus Christ. And as long as you think your standing before God is tied to your consistency, you'll live under condemnation. It's time to get our eyes on Jesus. So number three. Rehearse your identity in Christ. Rehearse your identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which was our verse for last week, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, which means your struggle is real, but it's not ultimate. You are not a failure trying to do better. You are a new creation learning to live in what is already true. You are a new creation learning to live in what is already true. You know, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, we use the term that you are born again. And if you're born again, then it makes sense that when you're born again, then you are a spiritual infant. And just like a physical, biological infant, you have to learn and grow and develop. And it takes time. I don't know if you've been around a baby lately, but they really are rather helpless creatures. They can do very little for themselves. They make messes. They can't feed themselves. They have to be cleaned up. They have to be put down. They have to be watched nearly at all times. But if they're cared for, if they're nourished, then they eventually grow into children. Now, a child is beginning to learn. They gain in normal circumstances. They gain mobility. They gain motor skills. They begin to do things. They pull up for themselves. They learn how to walk. They may learn how to feed themselves. They begin learning how to communicate in a meaningful way, not just crying for attention, but they begin to learn to communicate in meaningful ways. And they have to learn how to live. And the same is true. As a new creation, as a born-again person, you are learning to live in what is already true, and which is you are alive. So, begin practicing your identity in Christ. You are no longer the subject to failure. You are now proclaimed, declared, not guilty. No longer are you condemned. You are a new creation in Christ. So, begin learning. How do I grow to be more mature in this identity? Number four, resume obedience without fear. Now, here's a point when many people get stuck. They think, if I'm not condemned, then sin doesn't matter. But the opposite is true. Sin matters greatly. When condemnation is removed, it doesn't remove the sin necessarily. Rather, fear is removed, shame is disarmed, and obedience, it becomes possible. So you're not earning acceptance, but because you already have acceptance, it's possible for you to obey the Lord, to walk in obedience, to walk with humility, to walk in the way of Christ. God has made it possible for you to be obedient to Him rather than, as a sinner, you were living in enmity with Him. So let me leave you with this. A condemnation mindset says, this is who I am. The gospel says, this is what Christ has declared about you. And those are not the same thing. You may still struggle, you may still fall, and you may still feel the weight of what you can discover from Romans chapter 7. But if you are in Christ, Romans 8:1 is more true than your feelings or your past experiences. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Shaped by Scripture podcast. Next week, we'll continue this series, Who Am I? Identity in Christ, as we keep learning to reject false identities and to live in the truth of who we are in Him. Until then, be shaped by Scripture.